Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What do you want to talk about today, Sean?
Today, I thought we could talk about, as nerdy as this might sound, but bear with me, like vocabulary terms related to hiking, related to backpacking, related to being out on the trail. And kind of my thought process was, you and I use a lot of terms and just kind of expect people to know what those terms are. Or really where it came from is, like, I was on Facebook the other day in one of the hiking groups, and, like, they're using terms in there, and it's like everybody in these groups kind of uses the same terms and just assumes everybody knows what they mean.
Right. Because it's a backpacking group or a hiking group or whatever, so they just assume.
Yep. They just assume everybody knows, and realistically, like, you can kind of use context clues, but I wasn't entirely sure I knew what all the terms meant. So I thought maybe we could just hit, like, some key backpacking terms that people use all the time that maybe people don't know exactly what those terms mean.
Okay. And we may have covered some of these. When I was doing my research and everything and looking up some terms that would be good to cover, we have blatantly talked about some of these, I know for a fact, on recent episodes. I don't know if we did a great job of explaining what they are.
Oh, for sure.
So
for sure, some of these terms we use. Like, I mean,
right.
You and I use them in the podcast quite often.
Regularly, yeah.
But I kind of figure, like, we were new once. And also, like, even...
Absolutely.
Honestly, some of the terms we use, I wasn't entirely sure we were using them right, if I'm being totally honest. So...
Irregardless,
right. So I thought we could just kind of, like, run down some of the popular terms, talk about what they actually mean. I'll be honest, like, in my research that I did, because I was looking up some of these, like, probably the same lists you were doing, where it's like, what are some common backpacking terms that people should know? Or, you know, like, looking through those things. I'll be honest, I learned what some things were. Like, what the difference between a couple of words that I historically have, like, used interchangeably. Like, I use hiking and backpacking interchangeably.
Yes.
I think a lot of people probably do.
Right.
And realistically, for the most part, that's fine. But technically, they're different things. So,
Yeah.
So it's, like, that sort of stuff.
I was going to say, why don't we start there then? And, like, what is the difference between hiking and backpacking?
Okay. So... And again, when you and I, Mike, are talking, usually we kind of interchange these things. But technically speaking, hiking is going to be your, like, you're out on a trail walking on a trail.
Right.
It becomes backpacking when you have a backpack. So it's like, it is the same thing, but, like, hiking is usually, like, you're not taking gear and stuff with you, right? Like, you might have a water bottle, or you might have, like, a fanny pack with snacks or any of that sort of stuff, but you are not to the point where you have enough gear that you need to have an entire backpack with you.
So if you have a day pack with a bladder, is that considered backpacking, or would that be hiking?
I mean, I don't, you know, I guess I don't really know. Like, what's your take on that? For me, that still probably falls into your hiking category.
Probably, yeah.
Because it's a day pack, right? Like, so you're not walking. Right. You're not taking.
That's just an easier way to carry your water and your supplies. It is a backpack, but it's not your. You're not hauling gear.
I think gear is the thing. When you get to the point, and you could call a water bladder gear, sure. But, like, I'm talking, like, camp stove, tent, hammock,
yeah.
Clothes, food.
Sleeping bag. Know. Yeah.
Right. That is where, to me, it gets more out of the realm of hiking and more into the realm of backpacking.
Right.
But then you get into, even related to that, so there's hiking and then there's backpacking. And then there's also another term that, I'll be honest, I kind of threw into like that same category. And that is trekking.
Right.
Like we talk, you and I love talking about trekking poles. But like trekking is technically a separate thing from my understanding. Again, you and I use that word like kind of to mean the same thing as hiking or backpacking, but realistically, apparently trekking is like a long distance, challenging terrain thing.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit confused still, I'll be honest with you, on exactly what trekking means, but it does definitely seem to be a longer distance thing, because I read somewhere that trekking usually involves, like, cultural exploration.
Okay.
Which I did not read a good description of what exactly that meant.
I think that's more like you're hiking up the Andes, or you're hiking up the Himalayas or something like that, and you're having a guide or something like that, like the people that live in that area, like Everest, you have your guides,
yes,
that take you up. I think that is more along the lines of a trek.
I'm going to agree with you, even though neither one of us actually know.
right.
But that's
we're using the term, I think.
That certainly falls in line with what it sounded like to me when I was reading this stuff.
And the term is failing me at the moment, but like especially like Everest, they have their guides, and I forget the official term for the people.
Is it Sherpas? Is that the word you're?
I think it's Sherpas. I think it is Sherpas, but those are the locals. Like, and they take the people up and down the mountain. Well, mostly up, sometimes down.
mostly up. There's a lot of up on that.
There's a lot of up. Well, I mean, and some people don't come back down. Like, honestly.
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
Oh.
I mean, it's true, but. But yeah, so those are your big, like, three, right? So you got your hiking, which is like your shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say day trip, like your day trip type stuff. That's hiking. Backpacking is when you throw a backpack, you're taking a bunch of gear, probably a longer trip, probably multiple day. And then trekking is like your next tier up from what you and I understand, where it's like you're doing like trekking through the Himalayas or trekking through the Andes, or like it's like a. I'm not going to say you always need a guide with you for it to be trekking, but like it's like that type of a hike where you need or want a guide.
Would you consider it? Are you backpacking the Appalachian Trail or are you trekking the Appalachian Trail? Like if you're doing the through hike, you're going the full distance.
Okay, so that's where it gets confusing to me, because that word that you said right there, or that term, I guess, that you said right there, mm-hmm. through hike, right?
Right.
Why is it a through hike and not a through backpack? Because I would consider that backpacking.
Right. Okay.
Because it's not a day pack situation. You're carrying a backpack. But they do call it through hiking. This is why it's confusing, and I thought we could talk about it.
So, what I am seeing is that a through hike is specific to long distance trails, particularly in one continuous journey, but that they also include through hiking, as in hiking the Appalachian Trail and hiking the North Country Trail. You're doing the full 4,800 miles of the NCT. You're not doing that in, I'm using air quotes here, one continuous journey, in the sense that you have to stop to sleep. You have to stop to, you know, eat. You have to, you know, all that kind of stuff. My opinion, a through hike is just, I'm starting at this trailhead. We've parked a vehicle at another trailhead. We're hiking through the trail through. We're not doing a circle or an out and back.
I know, but I don't think technically that's what that means. Like, I do agree with what you said, like, at the beginning of that statement. A through hike.
That I veered to the wrong.
Well, no, but my understanding of what a through hike is like you're saying, you start at the southern tip of the Appalachian Trail, and in one journey, obviously you're stopping to sleep, and you might even take rest days, and you might even take a day where you run into town, but, like, you are going from the southern tip all the way to the northern tip in one...
One, you're not going home.
You're not going home.
For, you're going home.
Yes, yeah, you're okay. Not going home. Like, you are doing it start to finish, one end all the way to the other. That is what a through hike is, to me.
Okay.
And I agree. I think you and I, this is, gets into one of those things where I think you and I use a term, and we're probably not the only ones, because I agree, you and I consider a through hike where you're going the entire hike in one, quote-unquote, one direction, where you're not doing a loop, you're not doing an out and back, you're going from spot A, you're ending at spot B. You and I call that a through hike. I don't think technically that's what a through hike is. I think it's like if you're doing the whole thing.
That's just a backpacking trip.
Right. Now, like, you and I maybe did for, what trail was it that we did? Was it the Muskegon River Trail? MRT? What's up there by Mesick that you and I did? It runs parallel to the North Country Trail.
The Manistee River Trail.
Manistee River Trail. You and I think, technically, quote-unquote, through-hiked the Manistee River Trail. Because we started at one end. We did it all in one shot to the other end. Now, it's not that long. So, I mean, you know, but, like, I think that is considered a through-hike.
Right. Is it considered a through-hike if we plan this section of the NCT?
I don't think so.
Because it's not it's not the tip to tip.
It's not tip to tip. That is what my understanding. That is called a section hike.
Okay, that makes sense. I hadn't heard that term, and that didn't come up in my my research.
Yeah, my understanding, and I don't believe that I'm making this up because I saw it on the internet. That is what they call a section hike. So you're doing a section of the trail. Because then there's this other term that I came across, too, which was flip-flopping. So, flip-flopping, so you could maybe do, and this is where it gets confusing, too, and, you know, take all this with a grain of salt and do your own research and all the things, but you could do a flip-flop through hike, theoretically. Flip-flopping is doing, like, you're going to do this section, and then you're going to do this section, and then you're going to come back and do the section that you missed.
Okay.
So they call that flip-flopping.
But you're still not going home.
But you're still not going home. So you are in total, while, you know, from when you start to when you finish, you are doing the total, but maybe in sections, and maybe not all the sections one right after another, like, in a straight line.
Would that be where you maybe come across a trail angel to take you to a different section?
Well, and I got that on my list too. So, okay, let's talk about trail angel.
Well, that's what I'm like. How do you skip a section?
I think you would have to. I think that's how, or you have your own chase vehicle, or you have, you know, whatever your situation is. But yeah. So, okay, let's talk about trail angel. Cause that's one, I'll be honest, that term confused the shit out of me for a long time.
So the concept of trail angel confuses me. the term doesn't necessarily confuse me. Like, I know it's basically someone who lives around or near a trailhead that is willing to pick people up, take them to their vehicle, take them to get lunch, like, take them to get supplies, whatever. Helps people that are backpacking or hiking, and they offer their services to the people in need. So that term never really confused me. It's just, is there a site to go find these trail angels? Like, is there, like, how do you get hooked up with a trail angel? That's my confusion.
Okay, so let me expand on that for just a minute. So my understanding of a trail angel does do all of the things that you just mentioned, but could also... Have you came across the term trail magic? Like, is that one of the terms that you came across?
That's one of my terms, too.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's maybe talk about trail magic for a minute before we go on with trail angel.
So go ahead.
Okay, so my understanding of what trail magic is all of the things that you just mentioned, like giving a ride, you know, picking up or dropping off.
I've got a different understanding of it then, yeah.
Okay, well, then you tell me.
So trail magic, from what I have come across, is unexpected acts of kindness or surprises on the trail. So, like, those cans of tuna that we found in that bear locker,
yep,
that would be considered trail magic because it's food that was left for somebody that maybe didn't have food. So that's trail magic. That's trail kindness.
Okay, yes, I agree. Okay, maybe we need to talk to a trail angel then to figure this out for sure. But from what I was reading, at least in the one article that I read, so it's like food or, like, really to me it sounded like most of the time, like, these people, like, their property probably butts up or the trail goes through their property, because it could also be like, hey, we've left a spot for you to set up camp on our property that's right along the trail. Or, hey, here's some fresh water that you can have access to while you're on the trail. Or...
Okay. So the in that, for those right there, I would say the spot to set up camp would be the act of a trail angel. Whereas the water left in a cooler or snacks left in a cooler would be trail magic.
See, my understanding is that trail magic is all encompassing of all of those things, and all of those things are trail magic as provided by trail angels, is my understanding. So you and I, even on this episode, so you and I have different understandings of how it goes.
Right. So, like, I don't think you have to be a trail angel to provide trail magic. Like, so you found a random tent stake at our last on our last trip. I would consider that trail magic. That's a random act or a random find on the trail or at your campsite that came in very useful for you, and you even paid it forward. You did not actually become a trail angel.
I agree. That was certainly magical to me. I don't know. Here's why I don't know if I count that as trail magic. Because realistically, that was trash. Like, it was somebody forgot their tent stake.
It wasn't trash. It was perfectly fine. They just left it by. They forgot it. They missed it.
I know it was unintentional, but, like, I don't know. Maybe, I guess if we've got any trail angels that listen, and you will allow Mike and I to ask you questions, will you please write in? Because we have questions. So maybe this one we are not explaining super well.
Right.
But then, yes, I mean, so back to your trail angels. So this is where our understanding differs. But, like, so my understanding is trail angels are who is providing trail magic. Your understanding is different. You're saying a trail angel. Tell me what you're saying a trail angel is.
Well, a trail angel is someone who helps hikers with even my definition that I have here is unexpected kindness, but trail angels in my thought is like, it's somebody you can contact ahead of time, like in the UP around the lakes, not Lake Superior, but, the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, you can call all terrain or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You can call them, pay for a ride. Whereas other parts of the North Country Trail, you don't have those services. You don't have a shuttle service to provide you from different trailheads and whatnot.
Yes.
So you can contact somebody that is considered a trail angel to say, I want to leave my vehicle here. Can you pick me up and drop me off at this trailhead? And they are offering that service.
Okay, so I will fully agree with that. Like, that is for sure. I think we can agree on that. Like, that trail angels, for sure.
I don't think it has to be unexpected for it to be a trail angel. I think trail magic is unexpected.
Okay.
I think that's maybe where me personally, Mike, draws the line.
Well, and then, I mean, just to...
Line in the sand.
One of the things that you had mentioned is, like, okay, where do you find a trail angel? Like, you know, let's pretend that you needed a ride or something. The only place I have ever seen that sort of stuff, and maybe there's a whole website dedicated to it. I don't know. Could be.
Right.
I see it a lot in the different Facebook groups that I follow. And you and I talk about, like, the North Country Trail a lot, because that's the trail that you and I are quite often on.
Well, we're in Michigan, and that's the only trail that goes through Michigan.
Well,
I mean, the only national
trail. The only major trail. One,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a Trail Angels of the North Country Trail Facebook group. So, like,
I guess I didn't realize that.
I see a lot of requests in that group. It seems to be a place for, and again, I'm sure it's not just Facebook, but there's a lot of, like, hey, I'm hiking here. Are there any trail angels in this area that could give, you know, like, me plus one a ride or whatever? But yeah, there's a whole Facebook group dedicated to that. And again,
with
gear, sure,
we're
going to
be stinky,
thing.
Like, all that kind of stuff, you know, like.
Oh, for sure.
They truly are angels. If they were to pick us up, like, during, in the middle of our ride or yes. our hike or whatever, they truly are angels because it is, we are
for
not
sure.
pleasant. So.
For, like, I'm thinking if I mean, I kind of wish I lived by the trail because I feel like I would be a trail angel if I lived
yeah,
by
for
the
sure.
trail. I'm going to show up.
Well, I'd be,
like,
picking you up with the Bronco with the top off. Like, it'd be a great time.
I'd be showing up with towels on the seat, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, no offense, but you're going to be stinky
sure.
and dirty. I'll come and pick you up. I'm also putting a protective barrier down.
Right. You can ride in the bed of the truck.
Right. Right.
I'm picking you up like you're on safari.
Okay, but seriously, though, if we have any listeners that are trail angels or no trail angels, I seriously
or have used
would,
a trail angel,
or have
like
used
how did
a trail
you?
Angel.
Yeah,
like how did you go about that? Like, I would love to talk to anybody more familiar than Mike and I about that specific one,
right?
Because I have more questions, not necessarily vocabulary related.
right, because coming up in August, we may need a trail angel. So.
I know, right? So, okay, so back to terms. Do you have any related to, like, trail angel or trail magic that you would like to hit?
That I don't think I do. Nothing, like, related to the trail angel or trail magic thing, no.
Okay.
Do you?
I don't have one related to that, but I kind of have one
okay.
adjacent to like all of the topics that we've been talking about. So one of the terms that you and I use that I'll be honest, I wasn't entirely sure I knew the meaning of or wasn't sure that we were using correctly. We use the term backcountry a lot.
Right, yeah.
Not entirely sure that I knew what that meant, to be honest with you. And
I didn't even think to look that up because I thought I knew what that meant.
Okay, I thought I did. Wasn't positive that I did. And again, we use it as though we know what it means. And it turns out my understanding of it is pretty close. But so when I look up like the definition of backcountry, it says, quote, the remote wilderness areas away from roads or urban development requiring self-sufficiency. So that, to me, is the key to what, like, that last three words is, to me, what makes it backcountry. Requiring self-sufficiency.
Right. To where you can't, you're not close enough to civilization to find a house to call for help or whatever. You have to know that you're going to have to set up camp.
You are going to have to set up your own camp. You are going to have to make your own fire. You are going to have to make your own bathroom. You know, like, you are away from the finer things in life. You are out being self-sufficient, or at least bringing the things with you to be self-sufficient, because there are not amenities there for you to utilize. So there's not, you know, there's not a water pump. There's not bathrooms. Like, that sort of stuff is what makes it backcountry.
Yes. Okay. So I just looked it up because I hadn't for my research. And I'm finding all of that. Like, it limited access. There's no facilities.
Yep.
Self-sufficiency. So. A remote section of the North Country Trail, far from trailheads or towns, is an example.
There you go. And then conversely, there's a term that I have never even heard, but apparently there's a term called front country. So, like, makes sense, because if there's back country, then there's also front country. Front country
just sounds dirty.
I know, and it's not a term that I have ever heard, but it came up, like, when I was looking up what back country was. It's like, oh, the opposite of that is front country. So, I mean, opposite of backcountry literally is front country. It's areas close to roads and developed campgrounds. So I've never actually heard that term used.
Okay.
But if anybody does hear that term, that's what front country means. It's not backcountry.
So let me see if I have this correct. The hike we did, we just did a day hike. I don't even think we took our gear. We just took our day packs. We did a day hike. JJ dropped us off at a trailhead or somewhere in Mesick, I believe it was, and we met up with the North Country Trail.
Yes. Yep.
Walked through, came back around by the I think it's Fletcher's Cove and all those little mini campgrounds that are right by Northern Exposure where we were staying. Not to name drop anything, but where we were walking along the road, there were campsites, there were people, there were cars. Yeah. Like,
there was that a gas station, there was a little corner store.
That's all front country.
We were
on the trail, but that's front country.
Correct. Okay. That is my understanding. Yes. And even, I'll be honest, so like, I would even consider front country. So when we did our Mouth of the Two-Hearted Tutuquamanon, I would even say we were in a mixture of backcountry and front country because we stayed at a state forest campground one night, which had a water pump and a bathroom, and I would consider amenities. That being front country.
For sure, yeah. I would definitely not consider that backcountry. It is definitely roughing it camping, but is not backcountry. Country camping.
Correct. It is not backcountry camping because, I mean, we were in designated camp spots. Like, it was, you know, not that you can't have a designated spot in the backcountry because, you know, for, like, preservation reasons, they sometimes have, you know, like how they do the Porkies where it's like, okay, you're in the backcountry, but
Please, you've got BC1.
Your tent here. to preserve nature, right? So I think you can have a designated spot, but like these were state forest, like square camp.
So let me get your take on this. The we just stayed at Tequamanon in the backcountry sites of Tequamanon.
Mm-hmm.
But we were less than 3 miles from, we were in the state park for one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were less than 3 miles from, well, the brewery for one that has full facilities.
I'm counting that as backcountry. Me personally.
Because we weren't close enough to, like, we couldn't, we're not going to walk the 3 miles to go to the bathroom.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
And we had to go to a stream to get water.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now, I think had there been 20 spots right around there, like there was, you know, what, 2 nights before that, how we were in the state forest.
The next closest campsite was another 3/4 mile or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So I think what you're referring to, that quote-unquote backcountry site in Tequamanon State Park, I think that is truly backcountry. I think that's far enough out.
That makes sense, because we did have to walk almost a mile to get water.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
We backpacked through to get to our campsite, had to hike back to get to our water source.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Right. I mean, in hindsight, I wish I would have known where that camp spot was going to be, because we would have just stopped and gotten a bladder full of water.
If I was expecting it to be another mile or more.
Yeah.
I thought we walked back a couple more miles. A couple more miles or whatever. So we're just like, nope, we're not filling up water here, blah, blah, blah.
In hindsight, I wish we would have just stopped and filled up our bladder while we were there. But who knew? You
know? Hey, we had to get firewood anyway.
Yeah, we had to get firewood anyway. So... let's see. So, do you got another term handy?
Speaking of, I guess, getting firewood, one term that I have is deadfall.
Oh, which I have most that on people, my list. Yeah, yeah.
You, do you? So, deadfall is, that's basically what you want for your firewood.
Yes.
Is, you don't want to be chopping down trees. You don't want to be killing nature.
Correct.
Deadfall. And it's in its name, deadfall. The tree is already dead. Understand there are ecosystems you are interrupting, because there could be things living underneath that, whatever. But you don't want to be killing a live tree, though. Anyway, plus live trees don't burn as well. So if you're collecting your firewood, make sure you're collecting it from deadfall, which is fallen trees or branches. Well, it's not necessarily that covers the trail, but like a deadfall is just anything that's down, right, that fell on its own or it died and fell, whatever. Yeah.
Down and dead. I mean, that's the other
down
part.
Down and dead.
You know, I mean, it says it right in the name, but like, even if it's down, but it's not dead, like if it's down ish or leaning, like that's not deadfall. Like you want your stuff that's down and dead. That is what you should be using for your
Jurassic
firewood.
Park taught us that nature finds a way. If it's not dead, it could still sprout somewhere.
Right.
So
exactly. I want to bring this one up just because in my list it is right next to deadfall, even though it doesn't necessarily relate to that. And I'm bringing this up because we have talked about it before, but you don't necessarily have to listen to all of our episodes, even though we hope you all do.
Okay.
The term switchback, which we covered in just a couple episodes ago.
Just looking at that one. That was going to be my next one.
Okay. Well, perfect. So we're right on with each other. So switchbacks is hard to explain without visualizations, but it is really, think of it like if you are going up a steep hill, but instead of going straight up that hill, you zigzag up the hill so that you are walking further, but not as steep of an incline.
Right.
So you are zigzagging like back and forth up the face of that hill instead of walking straight up. That is what a switchback is.
Right. You're going to look at it and say, why am I doing this when I could just go that way and get up there easier? It's not easier.
It's not easier. Mike and I are guilty of saying that every time it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I could just walk straight up this hill. Why am I walking so far?
Well, I still don't understand why if you've got a descent down to the river, and then you've got to go across the river and then go back uphill, like, why can't they just build a bridge there? Like, why do I got to go downhill and uphill?
Because nature.
Oh, that would be me that would have to build that bridge.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
No, but yeah, the switchback, like you said, it just zigzags back and forth. You feel like you're wasting a lot of steps. You feel like you're wasting energy getting up there, but you're actually saving a lot of energy by not taking those giant, like, uphill, steep, like, basically, they use them more on straight uphills type stuff.
Yeah.
To where you're basically going to be, like, crawling, like, to get. Mm-hmm. You're going to be using your hands to get up and everything. So it's going to be, you're going to be walking back and forth along this edge to get up there. But it does make it a lot more manageable.
It's like the same concept as like a pulley, right? Like with a pulley, you're pulling a lot longer length of rope to move something, but it's not nearly as strenuous because you're like spreading out over the length of that. So same concept, just hiking, basically.
Right. Another term that I mentioned in this episode that some people might not know, but a trailhead.
I've thrown that
term out there. Trailhead is basically a starting or a parking lot like type of a situation on a trail, to where it might be in the middle of a section of trail, or well, I guess it marks the end of a section. Like you have. the definition is the starting point, but it isn't always.
I know,
the
but it's not always
point,
the starting
point,
yeah. Right? Like it's the start or the end of a section.
Right there, well, you go.
I guess I don't know. You're struggling to explain it, and I'm struggling to explain it too. Like, how do you just put it into words? But like, yeah, it's. I mean, think of it like a parking lot, right? Like, mainly if you're going to a trailhead, you're gonna have a parking lot there. You're probably gonna have signage there. And it is probably, I'm using air quotes. You and I are using air quotes a lot in this episode that nobody can see because it's audio. But it's probably the start or end of a section.
They're great for meetups. So, like, if you've got a group that are backpacking with you or even just day hiking or whatever, everybody can meet at that trailhead and then you go from there.
Right.
Instead of trying to park along some random road.
Okay, so I'm gonna combine another word into there to maybe make this make more sense too. So another word that you might hear a lot, especially when people are talking about like maps and figuring out, you know, where they're gonna go, another term people are gonna use is waypoints, right?
Mm-hmm.
So waypoints are like spots along the trail that you're using as a guidepost, basically. So, like, Mike and I have talked about, like, when we plan our trips, we always say, like, okay, when we get to the 4-mile mark, we should be at a river. When we get to the 6-mile mark, we should be at this road and be crossing this road. So, like, we use those as waypoints along our trip to make sure that we're, like, on the right path. And where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to get there. Trailheads can also be waypoints along your way. So you might use a trailhead. Like, maybe you're going to go through several trailheads along your route, and you can use them as waypoints to be like, okay, on day 2, we should get to XYZ named trailhead. And then on day 4 of our section hike, we should get to ABC named trailhead. Like, they're spots along the trail where you can hop on or hop off the trail or be used as waypoints to do, like, smaller sections of a larger trail system.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree with everything on that. Like, and we use them all the time to help us not get lost.
For sure.
You know, all that. So whether it's a trailhead, like most trailheads that I have come across, we have come across anyway, are more or less like parking lots. There's a road nearby.
Yeah.
something like that, to where people can start their hike and or backpacking trip, however you want to call that. But but we use those along the way just so we know, like you said, we're not lost. Like,
right.
And if we don't come up to that, we're like, okay, maybe within the next 3/4 mile. There were a couple where it was like we were a mile off or so, and we're just starting to get nervous about it. But once you find it, you're like, okay, we know where we're at. But so.
Well, and I know people use them like, I mean, even, I know this isn't about planning, but like when you're planning your trip, to say, like, it's an easy way to say, like, okay, I am going to start at this trailhead. And then especially if you're going with a buddy and you have the ability to take two vehicles, like, we're going to start at this trailhead, so we're going to park one vehicle there, and we're going to end at this trailhead, and we're going to park another vehicle there. And, like, that, by default, is going to make, like, okay, this is how far we're going to go over this amount of days. So, like, to make that work.
Right.
And then, you know, it just works well. Usually here in Michigan where we're at, they're right next to a road, and that's why they're there and all the things. And it's right by where the trail is crossing the road. But, yeah, I mean, so trailheads, Mike and I usually get a selfie in front of the trailhead because there's usually, like, the trailheads have names usually. So, like, this is the Red Bridge Trailhead, or this is the,
Or Merla Road or whatever.
Merla Road Trailhead or whatever. So, like, Mike and I usually, just because we're nerdy like that, we'll get a selfie in front of the in front of the map, in front of the name, so that we know, like, okay, we did this section that goes in our memory book, you know.
But. Yep. So another one that, I mean, we've talked about on most episodes, but, and I think we've explained it, but another term would be blazes.
Oh, yeah.
On navigation. So along your trail to get to your waypoints, you're going to see blazes or trail markings till you know you're on the right path. We have come across where the trail is, where we've not even sure we're on the right trail, or we're even on a trail, just it gets overgrown that much or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep following, the North Country Trail has the beautiful blue blazes. So as long as you're following those, you're not going to get lost. But, that's what that is. It's just a marker of some sorts, usually paint, we found.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a metal sign or some kind of, but it's indicating that you're on the path.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then I guess, so another term, not really related to that, but it made me think of it for some reason. So kind of like adjacent to that, this is another term that you and I use, but again, because you don't have to listen to all of our episodes, you maybe have never heard us explain it. You will see the term cat hole a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting too gross about it, we've got a whole episode about pooping in the woods if you want to listen to that. But basically a cat hole, you will see like, oh, dig a cat hole to bury your waste. Or, you know, like, related to that somehow. For anybody that is not familiar with what a cat hole is or keeps seeing it but doesn't know who to ask, basically a cat hole is, and I don't know why they call it a cat hole, so don't ask that, but it's a hole that you dig to go to the bathroom in that you can then cover up. So it's usually, you know, kind of small, just big enough for your business to go inside. You know, 6 to 8 inches wide, 6 to 8 inches deep, little cat hole. So if you see a cat hole or see the term cat hole, that is what that means. It's a little self-made bathroom that you're going to bury your waste in. So then I only personally have a couple of terms left, Mike. So do you mind if I just read them off real quick? And then if you got any left, so the other two that I just want to mention real quick, another term that Mike and I have used in previous episodes, that in case you don't know what it is, I just want to get it out there. So one of the terms is ultralighter or ultralight. Like if you hear us talk about ultralighters, and I'll be honest, usually we laugh when we're talking about them, but I could see the point where Mike and I would maybe get someday to wanting to be ultralighters. But so an ultralighter is basically anyone who like is weight conscious, like as their main thing about backpacking. So like they're going to buy the lightest gear, take the least amount of stuff. Like you are doing this literally ultra light. You are, it's all about weight, like down to the ounces. You are minimizing your gear. You're minimizing what gear you do take. You are buying the lightest weight stuff of it. Usually the most expensive, if I'm being honest. But yeah, that's what an ultralighter is. It's the same as you and me. It's just they're very focused on the weight that they're carrying. So least amount of stuff, least heavy stuff. So that's one term that I had on there. Did you have anything to add to ultralighter before I rattle off my next one?
It's the lightest equipment, but the most expensive.
Right. Generally. I mean, I can't say every time. Usually it's going to be the most expensive. But then, so then the next one that I have, and then this is my last one that I have on my list, is base weight. So this, again, is a term that I did not know for sure if I knew what meant. But you will see, like, when people talk about stuff on Facebook or they talk about things in the different groups and stuff, you will see people quite often talk about, oh, what's your base weight or whatever. I wasn't sure if I knew what base weight was. It turns out I did not know what it was. So according to the internet, what base weight is it is your the weight of your backpack excluding consumables. So consumables like your food or your water or your fuel, those don't count in your base weight.
Okay, so it's everything that is not going to lose weight.
Everything that is not going to lose weight.
So it still includes your tent. So I thought it was just your base weight was just your, but that's your backpack weight. I thought it was just your backpack weight.
No.
But that would be your dry weight, basically.
Well, so I don't have dry weight.
Or just the weight of your, it would just be the weight of your backpack.
Like, okay, maybe. I'm not sure because I don't have that one on my list. I didn't look that one up. But base weight is your I'm going to say your gear weight. So it's like everything that you're carrying on you minus those consumables.
Right.
That is what your base weight is.
Minus the things that decrease as you use them.
Correct. Okay. Right.
That so makes sense. Honest, I was completely wrong on that too.
I was wrong on that. Like I thought your base weight was like... I don't know, like in my head, your base weight was, okay, day one, you're setting out onto the trail, what is the weight of your backpack at that point? That's what I thought base weight was like, what is your
starting? Yeah, your starting weight.
Yes, that's probably a better way to come up. What is your starting weight? That's what I thought base weight was. To me, I almost think your base weight might be closer to what your end weight is. Like when you are coming off the trail...
100%. Well, yeah, it would be closer. I mean, because if you're like us, you probably have, hopefully you still have gas left in your canisters. Like, you know, so you still have some. Right.
You have a little bit of consumables left, hopefully.
Right.
But not nearly as much.
Right.
Right.
So you'll be a lot closer to your base weight at the end of the trip than you are at the start. Yep.
Right.
That makes sense. Okay. I didn't know that. One thing I didn't know that even existed until I think our third or fourth trip, and I am going to get one. I got a new tent for Christmas. is a tent footprint.
It's good call.
Basically a ground tarp or a thicker material that goes underneath your tent. You don't necessarily need it, but it helps protect the integrity of your tent. The floor of your tent.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot less wear, making your tent take a lot less wear.
Right.
When you're going in the backcountry and everything. It does help protect from moisture from the ground as well. So,
yeah, we talked about that. I don't remember what episode it was that we were talking quite a bit about tent footprints. That is for sure a term I did not understand what it was when we first started buying gear. So
I thought it just meant like the space that your tent took up.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. I kept seeing all this thing about like, oh, tent footprints, and like, right, like you, I'm thinking like, okay, it's like the amount of space that your tent covers. Like that's the footprint, right? I think I kind of get it. you and I are close to like being 5 years in on like our hiking activity. I'll be honest, 4 years ago, totally didn't get the point of a tent footprint.
No. No, I didn't either. Our first couple of trips, I'm like, why would you want to carry that extra a little bit? Right. Like all that. Well, it takes up no space. It's right. It's very, very collapsible. Very and lightweight.
You are setting up your tent. If you're backcountry camping, you are setting up your tent on not manicured ground. So your tent is getting wear and tear on the ground. You're on the bottom side.
Yeah.
More rock than sticks. More so even than you would like think, like if you even let's say you grew up tenting, right, but you're always in a state park or whatever, your tent in the backcountry is going to get a lot more wear and tear than it does even in like a normal what most people do for a tenting camping type thing, just because like you're gonna be on pine cones, you're gonna be on needles, you're gonna be on like all this stuff, you're gonna get wear and tear. I totally get the point of a tent footprint now.
Yeah. So, and I guess the last one I'm going to bring up is just, again, because you don't have to listen to all of our episodes, but bear pole. Mm. Well, I guess this is going to be three in one. Bear pole, bear bag, bear canister. A bear bag is a bag that you put your consumables in at night to keep bears and critters away from you. So if they smell it, it's supposed to be... it's supposed to be scent proof, I guess. Supposed to be, but just in case it's not, you wrap it up, and then there will be a bear pole somewhere, hopefully, or you can do a bear sling. I guess that's another term over the tree, over a tree branch. But basically, getting your bear bag off the ground. If your bear bag is on the ground, well, and a bear finds it, then you don't have a bear bag anymore.
Right.
But so that's why you sling it over a tree with some paracord or rope or whatever you'd got with you. Or we've been fortunate enough when we had our bear bags, we had a lot of bear poles in the backcountry there.
And a bear pole, I mean, I guess just to make a point about like what a bear pole even. If you see the term bear pole, which you will quite a bit, especially if you're like making reservations for backcountry campsites, they will usually say if there's like a bear locker or a bear pole at the site. Like a bear pole is literally just, I mean, how tall do you think those poles were? 15 feet? 10 feet?
15-ish, 20-ish feet,
literally just a pole out in the middle of nowhere with a hook at the top that you put your bag on. Like, it ain't nothing fancy. When you hear...
With limited tree limbs, like, so bears and critters can't...
Right.
You know, climb and jump. So, yeah. So, and then a bear canister, it's basically the same thing, but it is a tub, for lack of better words.
Right. It's a tub, yes.
a tub with a locking, closing lid that they have designed that it takes thumbs and it takes... I mean, I guess it, for lack of better thinking at this point, it takes human thinking and human knowledge how to open it.
It's almost like a puzzle. I mean, it's not a puzzle, it's like almost like a puzzle to open it.
So, but you throw, they come in all different shapes and sizes, but you throw your perishables or your consumables in there, set them a couple hundred feet away from camp, and... you know, that way if a bear does find it or whatever, it's not going to be able to grab it and run with it. It's not going to be able to, it's going to be safe. So, I think that's the last
thing. And then just to add on to your thing, one of the things that I mentioned that I guess, I mean, to explain when I said you'll either usually see a bear pole or a bear locker. So a bear locker, just so people understand what a bear locker is, it's basically a metal box that, again, kind of has like a puzzle mechanism to open. Like, you got to stick your hand up into this latch and then push on it and then pull on it a certain way. It's a metal box that you can put all your stuff in instead of hanging it up on a pole. Some places will have a bear locker for you to be able to put stuff in. It's just a big metal box. Like, nothing too fancy.
I did think of one more.
Okay.
And we would be remiss if we did not mention this on this episode. leave no trace.
Oh, there it is. Yep. Fit it in. Good job. For sure.
Leave no trace is basically the principle for minimizing environmental impact on the trail. If you pack it in, you pack it out. Don't leave your garbage out on the trail, assuming that it's just gone. It stays there for the animals, and we don't want to do that. So
please, anybody please listening,
pick up after yourself.
Pick up after yourself. Leave it nicer than you found it. Mm-hmm. Mike and I mean,
or at least as nice as you found it.
At least as nice as you found it. Mike and I bring it up on darn near every episode, but like, please leave it as nice or nicer than you found it. If you take it in with you, take it back out with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was scrolling through, and I was just like, oh, crap, we haven't mentioned Leave No Trace. So we mention it on 90% of our episodes, so right. We need to make sure that we got it on this one.
Yeah, good for call. Sure. And I think that is a great note to leave off on. So as always, if anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns about anything that Mike and I have said over the course of this episode, you can always reach us on our email, which is SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. On most of the major socials, at SeanMikeHike, or directly on our website, which is SeanMikeHike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, go take a hike.
Go take a backpack?
Yeah, there you go.
Go take a backpacking? It doesn't have the same rhyme.
It doesn't have the same ring. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yep. See ya.